My family likes to retell an event that happened many years ago when my nephew Kyle was just 3 years old. I was finishing up my pastorate at Immaculate Conception in Colville. It was my last Sunday, and so it was kind of my farewell mass. My brother and sister-in-law were in the first pew with 3-year-old Kyle on her lap. And he slept through most of the mass, which was refreshing. But at the end, at the announcement time, he woke up. And at that time, I was sitting in the big celebrant's chair, and it was Easter season, so I had gold vestments on. The parish council president was presenting me with gifts, and the finance council chair had a check, and there was applause and all kinds of rigmarole. And my nephew Kyle was taking all of this in, and he looked up to his mom and he said, "Mama, is Uncle Darren a king?" And my sister-in-law, without missing a beat, said, "No, honey, he just thinks he is." I think we can imagine, you know, what had led that up to Kyle. He probably looked at some storybooks or something about what it means to be an earthly king, and there he saw someone who was big and in gold vestments and surrounded by ceremony and receiving gifts and applause, and so his observation seems understandable. But the king that we celebrate today, as we know, is quite different from our earthly notion of a king and his kingdom. On this solemnity of Christ the King, the Church gives us the gospel passage from St. John, in which Jesus tells Pilate just how different he is. He says, "My kingdom does not belong to this world. Christ is a king who wears a crown, but it is a crown of thorns. And instead of conquering other armies and capturing other lands, he conquers the power of Satan, sin, and death." When Jesus tells Pilate his kingdom is not here, we know that the kingdom of Christ in all of its fullness is in heaven. And the Church tells us that if you want to catch a little glimpse of heaven, if you want to catch a peek of what heaven is like, the Church says, go to Mass. Pope St. John Paul II called the Mass heaven on earth. And he said that the liturgy we celebrate on earth is a mysterious participation in the heavenly liturgy. And so there is a connection between the kingdom of heaven and every Mass we attend. One of those connections is beauty. Our second reading today is from the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, we have a beautiful description of the kingdom of heaven, described as the new and eternal Jerusalem. We read that it is prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. It gleams with the splendor of God. Its radiance is like that of precious stone, like jasper, clear as crystal. It has massive high walls with 12 gates adorned with sparkling jewels and pearls. One of the blessings of our cathedral is that we too come to Mass in a church that gives us a glimpse into the beauty of the kingdom of heaven, with massive high walls adorned with sparkling jewels. I suspect that the architect who designed this building made those stained glass windows as large as they are because he knew the book of Revelation. And he knew that this place was supposed to give us a peek into the heavenly Jerusalem. The more we strive for beauty at Mass, then the more we reflect the beauty of the kingdom of heaven. I think about, you know, our music, huh? I could never be assigned to a parish in which they played their guitar ever again. Nothing against the guitar. But how does it compare with the beauty of what we have here And so we take advantage of beautiful music and precious vessels and gold vestments and clouds of incense, and we offer sacrifice on a noble altar carved in marble. Ukrainian Christians tell the story of Prince Vladimir of Kiev, who converted to Christianity in the year 988. He sent emissaries to the capital city of the church in the east, which was Constantinople, named, of course, after the Emperor Constantine after he converted. And there they attended Mass using the Byzantine liturgy at the Cathedral of Hagia Sophia, Holy Wisdom. At this liturgy, they witnessed firsthand the chant, the incense, the icons, the real presence of Christ. And afterward, they sent word to Prince Vladimir and said, "We did not know whether we were in heaven or on earth. Never have we seen such beauty. We cannot describe it, but this much we can say. There, God dwells among mankind." In our second reading today from the book of Revelation, we are told that Jesus has made us into a kingdom of priests for his God and Father. Now, to our Catholic ear, that sounds odd that all of us are priests. And yet, through our baptism, you share in the priesthood of Jesus Christ in a different way that I do as a ministerial priest. My role at the Mass is to offer sacrifice at the altar. Your role is to offer spiritual sacrifices. Each and every time you come to Mass, you do so bringing with you struggles from work, family difficulties, physical pain, maybe disappointment, maybe some grief or mourning. And then you offer these to God in sacrifice, trusting that just as he transforms bread and wine, the sacrifice of bread and wine, that he too will transform your sacrifices in your own lives. On Monday morning this past week, a man was recorded on our security cameras here at the cathedral walking in. He attempted to break into the poor box in the back, and then he stepped into the vestibule. And he went up to the holy water font, and he didn't touch it. He leaned over it almost like it was a hot stove. And as he leaned over, he spit into the holy water. Now, as I watched him do that on the video, it was pretty clear he knew darn good and well what he was doing. And it was evil. Incidents like that remind us why it is so important to remember that in the kingdom of Christ, we have hosts or legions of angels whom we invoke at Mass for protection, the most powerful of which is Saint Michael the Archangel, who is the fiercest warrior in heaven. And at Mass, the Church assures us that we are most closely united with the saints in the kingdom of heaven, who pray for us that we might be protected from the power of evil. As we think about the battles of the kingdom, the reality of our lives is that we are more often faced with little skirmishes, if you will, that are pretty ordinary. Scott Hahn writes about this, and he says, quote, "What is our particular combat during Mass? Maybe it is warding off contempt for the parishioner whose perfume is too strong, or the man who sings the wrong lyrics off key, or withholding judgment against the parishioner who skips out early." He continues, "Maybe it's turning the other way when we begin to wonder how low that neckline really goes. And maybe it is fighting off smugness when we hear a homily riddled with grammatical errors. Maybe it is choosing to smile in an understanding way at the mom whose baby is screaming." You know those battles. They're the ordinary Mass battles. They're not as dramatic as Michael crushing the head of Satan with a mighty sword in his hand, but they are battles nonetheless. And even in those battles at Mass, we can call on the angels and saints in the kingdom of heaven for both strength and help. Many years ago, my nephew was confused and thought that I was a king. My hope is that we always strive to celebrate the sacrifice of the Mass such that there is never any confusion, and that it is clear that the Mass is heaven on earth, where Christ the King reigns in glory.